Hello. You're listening to God's Truth with Free Will, and I'm Evangelist Esther Ross. We are living in a cultural climate where the slightest comment or action from the past or present can cause an offense. I have shared with you before that in the case of William Cosby, women from the past did not rise up with a case against him until after a male African-American comedian, angry that Bill Cosby said profanity was not necessary to give jokes, ended his show saying, "Go home and Google Bill Cosby and rape." Whether that comedian meant it or not, it set off a domino effect that continues spreading greater and greater. For me, it is hypocrisy to watch so many who declare relating to African-American hardship never demand any restitution for them or protection by the laws in our current era. Yet there is a demand for restitution for many other past offenses and protection for animal rights. With no forgiveness allowed, people are being removed from jobs and no longer able to earn a substantial living because of a former mistake. As former offenses have been addressed, I hope love would be the key to understanding and forgiving the imperfection in all of us, but that has not been the case. The law that was unjust and failed women in a different era, allowing men an unfair advantage over women, is now equally unjust and unfair in favor of women. Justice should be uncompromising. However, because of unjust laws, Africans were forced to endure humiliation, and female slaves had to daily see the plantation owner that took their body by force, and we will never know if men used other men by force as well. Facing an abuser at the time of the abuse takes courage because it robs a person of their dignity and power. Slaves ran for freedom in the face of death. So silence in order to spare humiliation until a safer time that's unknown gives me pause, because that silence increases harm and pain to others. Humiliation in this current era is now on men. Men much older with less significant popularity and power. Unfortunately, innocent lives are being harmed too. A wife, children, family, and friends who took no part in that wrong are affected. Long ago, the N-word was allowed to be used without an objection. But now a person can lose their job for using the derogatory N-word. However, who knows if the person judging has used that word before or not? To any African-American who uses the N-word, please consider the times. Because one day soon, as incredible as it may sound, a demand may come for you to lose your job because you use that word as well. Allow me to share a situation with you that happened to me long ago. I worked with a very kind European-American woman who invited me to her home one evening after work to watch football because she knew how much I enjoyed it. I deliberately sat behind the door. When her daughter's boyfriend entered, he said, "What's going on with you all sitting around like a bunch of ends in a barrel?" Due to the silence, he hesitated. Then he closed the door. He saw me sitting in the room. Immediately, he apologized, and I answered, "It's quite all right. You did what you would have been allowed if I wasn't here. So please, don't let it bother you, none of you. I'm good." You see, a person won't change in their heart because they got caught. So forcing a person out of work is hypocrisy when there is no reason to transform their mind and change their heart. Let's look at some verses in the Word of God. Romans 12:19-21. "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. If a person is physically harmed this week and retaliates next week, this becomes assault. So though I am empathetic with justice that comes at any time, the best time to address wrongdoing is when it's done. Otherwise, others will surely suffer. Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. Church attenders may not be transformed, so I understand them not hating slavery or demanding it end. But I don't understand the appalling silence of those born again who watched as men with rational minds consistently acted with irrational behavior. 2 Kings 9:22. Now it happened when Joram saw Jehu that he said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" So he answered, "What peace? As long as the harlotries of your mother Jezebel and her witchcraft are so many." Being born again requires more from us. John 3:3. Yeshua answered. Yeshua, Jesus answered him. I want us to always know that when I say Yeshua, it's Hebrew and Jesus is Greek, but you can use either. I'm never going to talk about a person choosing something different. We all have free will. So I'll read it again. John 3:3. Yeshua, Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. To my knowledge, not one woman seeking restitution from a former abuse has requested having that man receive mandatory rehabilitation. A time to analyze why that act was done. And no request has been made for any abuser to give financially to an institution that offers help to women in need. Also, no consideration is allowed for wanting to see aggression in sports, especially on the football field and in boxing, without a demanding amount of time required for separating the life of the sport from everyday interaction with others. These are points of interest I hope for, because becoming born again means we do our best to see with God's heart and reestablish a right way of thinking in others without vengeance. Galatians 6:1-2. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest ye also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Messiah, Christ. So contrary to what's often said, hurting people do not have to hurt people. It's a choice. Luke 23:34. Then Yeshua, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. During the days of Pharaoh and Joseph, unity existed between the house of Israel and Egypt. Genesis 41:42-43. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. And he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried out before him, "Bow the knee." So he set him over all the land of Egypt. When no history of their prior unity was passed down, a new Pharaoh arose who put taskmasters over the house of Israel. Exodus 1:14. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. all their service, wherein they made them serve, was with rigor, harshness. Knowing this, slavery still came to America. Proverbs 8:6-9. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. God always gives a warning first, but many choose to ignore it. Just as Pharaoh, who caused all the firstborn of Egypt to be killed, Exodus 11:4-5. That era in history is associated with Passover, Exodus 12:13. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This also represents a bridge to Yeshua, John 1:29. The next day, Yochanan, John, saw Yeshua, Jesus, coming toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Yeshua is the Passover Lamb, Exodus 12:3-5-6. On the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. On the calendar used by the children of Israel, that month is Nisan. And in the early versions, it can also be Abib, A-B-I-B. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. This is the Lord's Passover. Annually, this day is 14 Nisan, as I said earlier. The calendar that is used in the Word of God is a lunar calendar. We use a calendar that is, it's used by the sun. And it is the Gregorian calendar. So the time is a little different. In Genesis 1, the Lord says, "An evening and morning shall be the first day." In every different time or era of time, there will be changes. And that's what has happened down through the years. Whichever calendar, I don't think we should make a difference in that. It's a choice again. So we don't want our choices to start causing us to be divided. But it's good to know. And then in your choice, it's your preference, but in all things, honor God. I thank you so much for listening. I ask that God will bless your call and what he has on your life, as I'm always asking God to continue to be a blessing on my life and my call. Tune in again when you can. I hope that you'll continue listening. God bless you all.